somewhere for me is waiting somewhere, somewhere for me.
Hopefully the public understands that we're also on a different format. We don't usually use this format. And we'd like to welcome you all to the meeting, let the public know that this will hopefully be a good public participation option for you. You can certainly participate via public comment. For tonight, any member of the public wishing to address items not-
The broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
So anybody wishing to address items not on the agenda or on the agenda needs to register via the link provided on the agenda. Wait for your item to come up, and then you will be allowed into the meeting and able to speak. I will let you know when I see the speaker come up, and then the clerk will allow that speaker to provide their comment. This might take a little bit of extra time, so hopefully you in the public and also my board colleagues will just bear with me and have a little patience through this. You're also able to raise your hand throughout the webinar. You can check on that button as well. And then the clerk will allow you to speak. So thank you, everybody. Welcome again to the meeting, and we will go ahead and get started. We will commence with the Pledge of Allegiance. So. We pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, and thank you all for the pledge. So at this time, we have a public forum. Are there any people that are interested in speaking in public forum?
If we can start with the roll call.
Go ahead.
Okay. Commissioner Murr?
Here.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Peck?
Here.
Commissioner Goodman?
Here.
Vice Chair Friedman?
Here.
And Chair Gray?
Present.
And if there are any members of the public wanting to speak, if you can please use the raise your hand feature located within the app to speak at this time. And I see no responses.
Thank you, Ms. Campos. So moving on to item A, the consent calendar. We have approval of the Library Commission meeting minutes of Monday, March 2nd. Are there, I know it's a long time ago, do we remember what we talked about? but I don't know if anybody has any amendments or revisions to those meeting minutes at all, or if we can go ahead and have somebody make a motion to approve those. Okay, Commissioner Peck has moved.
I'll second.
Do we hear a second? Commissioner Marr? Do we want a roll call?
Yes, roll call vote. Commissioner Murr?
Aye.
Commissioner Peck?
Aye.
Commissioner Goodman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Freeman?
Aye.
And Chair Gray?
Aye. Thank you.
Thank you. And if we can move back, we have an amendments or adjustments to the agenda. I wasn't sure if Ms. Allison Gray had any amendments or adjustments to this agenda. And we cannot hear you. Your microphone is turned off. We still can't hear you, Allison. We can't hear you. You may need to dial in.
Can you hear me now?
But there's feedback, so you might need to mute your computer. And then next time, somebody will just sing for fun elevator music while we're on hold. I think we lost. Okay. Allison, are you able to? Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Sorry, we've been juggling computers. We've had some difficulty here today.
No worries. Thank you. Thank you again for your persistence and getting through. So at this time, we have a presentation. Your director's report is on the agenda.
Okay, well, it's really great to see all of you again. It's been a very long time. So I will be reporting about what's been happening at the library between March and July, through the end of July. So we circulated 66,629 items during that time period. A lot of that was automatic renewal. Everything that people had checked out, we just kept renewing again and again and again because we didn't want anybody getting any overdue fines. And if anyone has any questions, just literally raise your hand and I will answer them. We stopped interlibrary loaning materials between all of the libraries in Black Gold in March. Black Gold lost half its funding from the state. That came to $80,000, and that money goes toward shipment costs. So they had to suspend shipment, and therefore our patrons can only borrow items owned by Goleta, Buellton, and Solvang. We do have shipment between our three branches, so at least our patrons are able to get materials owned by the three of us. Shipment will start up again at some point between Black Gold libraries, but we just aren't sure when that is going to be. It may not be until next year.
Sorry, Director Gray, I just had a question. Have you heard from patrons on this issue, or are they feeling underserved, or what have they commented on?
We are net borrowers. Goleta library users like to borrow from other libraries, so it has been frustrating for people, but we have been trying to provide books and materials that people want via the Zip Book program through purchasing, request for purchase, and things like that. We've been trying to make up for the difficulty of not being able to browse by having genre bags that we've been loaning out. Those are honor paperbacks and they're done by genre. So we're trying to be as creative as we can in getting new materials to people who have run out of favorite authors' books to read. So we're trying to be as helpful as we can to help people find things to keep them entertained and occupied and learning new things.
Thank you.
And if we could advance the slides, please. To the one that says library basics. The one right before library basics shows the wall in our workroom with thousands of children's books on it because we have so many books at the library. And we have no room to shelve them. So we're utilizing books, desks, tables, chairs, the floor, you name it. We're shelving all over the interior of the library. And it looks like we're having some trouble with the slides. So we closed the library in early April due to the City of Goleta's shelter at home instruction. Staff was only allowed in the library to pick up craft kits to mail from the U.S. Post Office to our patrons, and I'll talk about those in a little bit. The building was deep cleaned regularly between April and June 1st when staff was allowed back in the building to work and prepare for sidewalk service. No returns were allowed during this time period. Does it sound like someone singing? Okay, I'm hearing that too. We'll keep soldiering ahead. So when sidewalk service commenced, the hours were Wednesday through Saturday from 11 to, it says 11 to 5, but it was actually 11 to 4. And I'll explain exactly what sidewalk service is in just a short period. And if we could look at the next slide. Oh, yes, Meredith. Commissioner Murr.
I was just wondering, when you had the library closed and until you started the sidewalk drop-offs, were you able to pay the employees? And can you just talk about how that compensation went and whether or not you had to make any adjustments?
We were extremely fortunate. Goleta Library employees were the only ones in Santa Barbara County where none of the staff was furloughed. So we kept everyone really busy providing virtual services for our patrons and then also working on these craft kits. We knew that we couldn't provide in-person service, so we immediately turned our attention to other ways that we could provide service and help our patrons through this difficult time. And I think that the number of people who took advantage of the services proved that we did a good job. And we've had a lot of really great feedback from our community. So on the screen here are some of the craft projects that we sent out to families. Any children in our service area, including Buellton and Solvang, could sign up to receive two craft kits each month. Initially, while we were closed, we mailed those out. And then after we were open, people came to come pick them up at the library. The Friends of the Goleta Valley Library helped defray some of the postage costs, which was great. We had an anonymous donor who gave us $1,000 to purchase craft kits, which was really great. all kits had Spanish translations of instructions, so everyone was bilingual. The kits were put in individual baggies and separated by age group for ease of selection for sending out. We created a database so that we could look up the kids and make sure that we were noting which crafts we were sending out so no one got duplication. In addition to purchasing craft kits from some companies where you can see some of these have sort of pre-made parts, staff also looked for projects using recyclable materials. So some of those are on here as well. Within 2 months, we had over 1,400 children signed up for the program. And by the end of August, we'd given out almost 4,000 kits. We're now at about 5,000. Can I answer any questions about the craft kits?
I don't have any questions, but that's quite impressive. Thank you for that great work.
Great, and people can still sign up for them. Another thing we did was spend a lot of time trying to add to our virtual services. So we created a whole sort of portion of our website that we called Ideas to Keep Busy at Home for All Ages. And so staff were assigned topics to research and find things that would be interesting, educational, recreational, soothing, calming, all of those things during this time for all ages. And so the next slide shows some of the sites that we found that had crafts for adults. And then there we go. And then we also had on the next slide some of the other categories that we had. And we tried to find things for university students, for writers, for people who couldn't travel but wanted to do virtual traveling, which I did a lot of, learning, puzzles, fun things. We just tried to add to it continually. It was a very vibrant website that was changing all of the time, and all of the staff was involved working on it. The next slide shows you some of the children's sites.
Do you have an idea of what the most utilized links were and who was accessing most of this information?
Yes. I don't have an exact number for March through for March through August, but we do know that the website was used over 60,000 times last year. So that would be, I think we could extrapolate at least a quarter of that number would be from March through July, or sorry, March through June.
Thank you.
We tried to find a lot for children. And the next slide shows you some of the categories that we had. We were particularly interested in providing story times in English and Spanish, since we were no longer able to provide story times here at the library. We wanted to keep teens engaged over the summer. We wanted to stop any summer slide. So in addition to finding other libraries that were doing these types of programming, we decided to do quite a bit of virtual programming ourselves. So if we could go to the next slide, please. So I don't know if you remember, we had gotten a Book to Action grant where we were reading a book called Strays, and the author was supposed to come and speak with us, and we were supposed to do pet adoption events at the library. So we had to pivot a bit. We obviously couldn't do adoptions, but we did a lot of virtual craft programs, virtual pet story times, and we did a pet supply donation drive and ended up with so much material for our local pet shelters. So that's me with my kitty cat mask and donating some things to the pet drive. So it culminated with a discussion with the author, who joined us from London and has promised that next year, if she can come and travel, she will do a in-person talk for us. She was lovely. And the next slide shows some of the things that we did as a staff virtually. A number of my staff did story times for different ages. We continued our bilingual story time, and we did them live, and then of course they were viewable after that. We have a YouTube channel now, and we've had thousands of views of some of our programs. We started doing the tech tutoring via GoToMeeting instead of in person, so people could get help with their devices. We did the summer reading club for children and teens online rather than in person. We had our annual bookmark contest, which we managed to do mostly via sidewalk service. We had book discussions online rather than our big summer reading program performers in the library, where we usually get 300 or 400 family members. We did those online. We were very grateful for the performers for working with us and letting us film them. We did craft project demonstrations for adults and families. And we did check in with a librarian for people who like to visit the library just to chat with the staff. So if somebody just wanted to chat with one of us and talk about books or ask a question or a reference question, they could do that. So we really kept busy with virtual work as well. A lot of social media. We really boosted the social media. So I was very proud of my staff for really stepping up and providing very unique and thoughtful service in a time when we couldn't be there in person for folks. And people have been very, very complimentary and happy with the services. Commissioner Murr?
Thank you. Director Gray, we have two questions, one from Commissioner Murr and one from Commissioner Murr.
For the virtual programs, were your staff, did they go into the library to do those, or did they do them from home? And if they did them from home, did you need to provide any equipment for them to do that, or were they kind of already set up to be able to do that?
While we were still closed, they did the programs from home, and most of them had the equipment, but if they needed it, we were able to provide it to them. Then once we were open, they were able to do it from the library.
Great, thank you.
Commissioner
Peck. Rahm Emanuel, now the former mayor of Chicago, once said, never let a good crisis go to waste. So I'm curious, this is very impressive. Are you trying to make a plan to see what you would do if we ever get back to normal, what you would retain, what's really worked, what might not be possible or just be too much?
Well, this is sort of a turning point for libraries, I think. We don't know when we'll be able to open as was normal. So we are thinking of a whole bunch of possibilities and, you know, don't know what's going to happen. But certainly virtual services like the online story times and things like that will definitely continue because we have literally reached thousands of people through this service. So clearly it's something that is needed and it's convenient for parents. They may not be able to come to the library at 10:30 for a story time, but it might be great for a Tuesday night before bedtime. So we definitely are analyzing every service and also analyzing the services that we used to do that perhaps saw low numbers and should be eliminated in view of what's working really well now.
Great, thank you.
And of course, then we also have to think about what it's going to look like when we do initially reopen, because it will not look like what we normally operated as.
So I have a question sort of following up on those two questions, and it relates to the programs that you think might disappear or others that you would continue to retain. So are you preparing some sort of an assessment and a summary in any kind of a document? And if so, might we be, excuse me, might we be able to see that at a future time?
Yes, actually right now I'm working on the California State Library report for fiscal year 1920. So that goes through June 30th. And they were very thoughtful about asking questions for in-person programming for the pre-COVID period. And then they asked questions about live virtual programs and numbers of views, and then recorded virtual programs and number of views. So it's been very valuable to track that information, and we are now tracking that information regularly from July forward. So once I'm done with the state report, which is due November 6th, I think, yes, I will be sharing that with you either at the November or December meeting.
Thank you. Any other questions before
okay.
we move on?
You're welcome.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so the next slide shows Jill providing our friendly sidewalk service, which began on June 1st. We needed to figure out a way to provide service that was contact-free, safe for the staff, safe for our patrons. And Black Gold came up with a computer or a widget that worked with our circulation system. You can go ahead one slide, please. Patrons must place a hold on any item that they wish to borrow. And as I said, they can borrow them from Goleta, Buellton, or Solvang. And we have shipment between those branches two times a week. As usual, they receive confirmation that their holds are at the library for them. And they're told to come to the library during the set hours and when they come to the library to text or call the staff. We have a person that we like to call the concierge who sits outside on the sidewalk under an umbrella and helps with questions and helps with people learning how to text perhaps for the first time or answers questions about returning materials and things like that. So the patron texts that they are there to pick up their holds. Staff use the widget inside to pull the holds, check them out, and put them in paper bags with the person's name on them. Then they bring them out to a table that is placed right in front of the front doors of the library. And call the patron's name. One person at a time can go up and pick up their bag as we are practicing social distancing. And nobody gets service without a mask. So we are very busy with the sidewalk service. It's working very well. And since we started doing the genre bags, that's even helped more because it allows people to have more books, particularly children, because they're not checked out. They're honor system paperbacks. So that sidewalk service is going well. We're going to continue doing that rather than opening at 25% capacity, which we could do. But the city council and city manager's office and patrons feel that what we're doing now is sufficient and would like us to continue as is for the time being. So if we could go to,
Solving and how their services have been impacted. I mean, they were not operating at full capacity to my recollection previously. So how have their operations been impacted by COVID?
We are all three of us doing exactly the same thing, same time, same hours, same processes, craft kits, virtual programming. Buelton has a writing workshop that one of their staff members leads. We have a person from Australia involved, someone from Georgia who wrote me an email about how incredible the workshop is. So, they're doing the same things we are. We're trying to keep it easy and simple to remember for everyone.
That's great to hear, simply because there are more limited resources, more limited staffing in those locations. So to the extent that they can really capitalize on the online experience and offerings, it's very encouraging.
Yes, it's been a great way to start out really as a system. You know, we really have been able to work cooperatively and help each other out. And I think that the patrons are pretty happy with the way the system is working at this point. So if we could advance the slide to COVID's impact on the Isla Vista grant. So as you may remember, Assemblymember Monique Lamone got us a grant for $200,000 for library service in Isla Vista. The initial check for $100,000 was not received from the state until September 2nd, so we are behind on our timeline. On tomorrow night, the city council will be accepting the grant money, and then we will start spending the $100,000, which will be lots of fun. We will be purchasing a mobile van and ordering 10 little libraries and a collection, a book dispensing machine, and all kinds of neat stuff. Due to COVID and the fact that we're doing contactless service at the library, we are studying what services we can safely offer in Isla Vista during this high alert COVID period. It may be that we do a form of sidewalk service where we drop off people's holds to specific locations while minimizing contact, especially if folks are not wearing masks or practicing social distancing. We will be there this fall before the van is in service, signing up people for library cards, telling them about our virtual services. We do have the downloadable movies and books and magazines and all of that. So we want to make sure that people know about that. And we want to get a sense of what kind of materials they want us to purchase for them, knowing that we can't purchase textbooks. So we're very excited about that, and at next month's meeting, I will have more to report on that. So the next slide shows my great staff, some of my great staff. Oh, sorry.
Commissioner Freeman.
Jay.
I'm not anymore. Good. Okay. Actually, I was going to change though to. Can you still hear me?
Yes.
Great. I had a lot of background noise earlier, and I was switching my audio setting, and that actually is what caused me to. I was doing a level check, and that's what caused the humming earlier. And apparently, when you change your audio setting, it actually immediately unmutes you, which is not how Zoom works. And so I was very confused. But so I was curious. What now is the schedule looking like going forward? So if you were to begin, if City Council actually does accept this grant money, is it going to come up at the next meeting? Is it going to come up in two meetings from now? Do you know what the schedule for that is? And then do you know about how long it might take in order to begin purchasing vehicle or the little libraries? And then from the perspective of those things happening, I'm wondering how that interacts with the fact that we are in this new global pandemic universe how much thought has been put into little libraries with respect to any kind of spread that could occur there? Hopefully not that much, because my understanding is inanimate objects aren't that bad, but so.
Right. That's a lot of questions, and there are a lot of questions involved with this. Now, did you ask when the council will be accepting the money? Was that the first question?
Yeah, first question was, is you say next step to get City Council to accept grant money, is that something that will be coming up at a next meeting or at a meeting?
Okay.
Do you know what the schedule on that might be?
Okay, yes, tomorrow night, actually, it's on the council agenda. So, we're assuming that there will be no problems with that. And then I got a scholarship to attend the National Bookmobile and Mobile Services Association conference October 14th through 16th. So I am going to wait until I attend that because there are a lot of vendors there and a lot of people who are going to be talking about services during this time period. Also, what you need most in a van and how to best start with partnerships and things like that before I actually purchase anything. So I'm thinking after the conference is done, then I'm gonna write out a schedule. We do want to think about things like the little libraries and how long COVID stays on materials. We do quarantine our returns here at the library still for 7 days. Because the Center for Disease Control and Library of Congress have found that it stays on library materials for 6 days. So we do have to be responsible about materials in the community right now. So that's part of the reason why we aren't reopening right away and why, it's a different beast than a restaurant that just sends food out. We are taking materials back in from people's homes. So there are a lot of questions about doing outreach right now, and I'm hoping that I get a lot of answers at this conference. But in the meantime, we can certainly, send out surveys about what kind of materials and books, DVDs that people are interested in having. Finding out which particular apartment complexes would like to take responsibility for having a little library, work with different areas about where we can set up a table and do library card applications in the meantime so that at least people can take advantage of our virtual services. So there's a lot we can do in the meantime if it turns out we can't provide physical programming for a while or, bringing carts of materials for people to look through. We really do have to be responsible about the health and safety of everyone. So it's thorny. And we're going to do our best to keep things on a good timeline, but be realistic about what's happening in the world right now. And see what other bookmobiles around the country are doing. I'm sure that I'm going to learn a lot at this conference.
Excellent. Thank you. Are there any other questions? Okay, Commissioner Goodman.
Yeah, I was wondering if people can also sign up for library cards online, or if that needs to be done in person.
No, you can sign up for an e-card online. It used to be restricted to just, I think, 2 months' use, but the restrictions have been removed for the time being. People can also come for sidewalk service and apply for a library card, and we'll make one for them right then.
Okay, any further questions? Okay, thank you.
Okay, so the question is, when will the library be open? And we do not have a set date on which we plan to open. Right now, libraries could open at 25% capacity, but there are just a great many problems with that approach, and we cannot see how it would work while being safe for everyone involved. The sidewalk service widget is great, but it's very, it demands a lot of staff to provide the service. So we don't know how we could do that, plus help that patrons inside the building. We are working cooperatively with the Santa Barbara Library System in terms of reopening dates. We are going to try to open at the same time that they do, so that both of our patron sets get service at the same time. And I mentioned earlier, the OCLC and CDC are still conducting studies on COVID's lasting presence on library materials. And as of this date, they recommend quarantining all returns for a minimum of 6 days. We do it for 7. At the beginning of their test, they recommended 2 days, but we operated under an excess of caution and chose 7 days, a decision with which we are now quite happy with. So that is my report for this crazy time period between March and through September. And I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
I don't have any questions. It sounds like, I know that Commissioner Murr has a question. I'm just really impressed at the way that you all handled this. I mean, you certainly haven't missed a beat. You've continued to do the youth person's task of getting everyone involved in every way that you can with the library and ensuring that our community is continuing to be outreached to and resourced hopefully felt supported through all of this. So I just want to thank you and your staff for just doing an incredible job. And, you know, in all of that, identifying areas where there's growth opportunities. So, you know, just my deepest gratitude to you and your staff. Commissioner Murr?
Thank you so much.
Well, you took the words out of my mouth. The only thing, in addition, that I would say is that I really hope that you will also make sure that you pass on that gratitude to your staff. Make sure that they know that we see what you guys are doing and we appreciate it. And I hope that they're also getting similar responses from the patrons that they're serving. So, yes, thank you to everyone.
Thank you very much. And we've received a tremendous amount of support from the city of Goleta, so we're very grateful to them.
I'm on your email list, and I'm always really happy to see all the things that are moving forward, and I check you all out on Facebook, and it's just, it's a bright spot, so thanks so much for all of that. We have a few future agenda items as agenda item B. I don't know if there's anything else you want to report at this time.
If I can interrupt for one moment, Chair Gray, if we can just take a moment to see if there's anyone on the line that wishes to speak to the Goleta Valley Library Director's Report. And so at this time, I will ask if there's any members of the public wanting to speak. If you can please use the raise your hand feature located in the app to speak to that item. And I hear no responses.
Thank you for checking and reminding me. I appreciate that. So if there's nothing further, yes, Chair Freeman or Vice Chair Freeman.
Do we know yet whether we're having the meeting next month?
Yes, I think we will need to have one next month to have an update, certainly on IV and the information that I get from the conference. And also possibly the state report. I'm not sure that I'll be able to give it next month, but I'm going to give it a go.
Okay, sounds like agenda items I'd be interested in are going to happen. So thank you so much.
And so that'll be November 2nd.
Yep.
I'm sorry, Commissioner Peck, did you have something you wanted to share?
But we're back, baby.
Yes, everyone's been waiting with bated breath, I'm quite sure. But it sounds like we'll be virtual again, and you know, hopefully we have the kinks all worked out. But okay, so if there isn't anything there, we can adjourn the meeting. So I will move to adjourn the meeting.
I will second.
Okay, thank you. It's really good to see you all. I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Allison, again.
Thanks. Take care.
Bye.
Welcome. Bye-bye.